Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now up to Parshat Re'eh, so let's come see what's there. But of course, before we do in fact have a sponsor. It's sponsored for a Refuah Shalema of Art Rosau, who is in need of Rachmei Shemayim. The Hebrew name is Abraham Chizkiyahu Ben Bluma. May he have a complete Refuah Shalema and be well. All right. Let us get started. There is so incredibly much to talk about. So let's see what we're going to do. I do apologize. I was actually mamish in the middle of actually learning from Gemara, and I lost track of time, so I got to pull this up. Here we go. This is a very interesting one. All right. First, the beginning of this week's parsha. Moshe gives the command from Hashem that when Bnei Israel enter the land of Israel, they are to ascend two mountains. It's very famous, Har Ebal and Har Gerizim. We're not going to get into necessarily the names of them right now, but those are the two names of the mountains that are given. So six tribes on one mountain, six tribes on the other. Now one set of six will represent the blessings from Hashem. One set of group will represent Hashem's curses. Now obviously there's many, many different ways to explain what it means by blessings, what it means by curses, and I've heard a lot of different interpretations of that, one of which is that the blessing be that we'll be able to hear and to see all the blessings that we have, and the curse is, well, that we won't be able to recognize the blessings. There's a lot of different ways that can be taught. Now, we had six Shvatim on one side, six Shvatim on another mountain, and Chazal teach that Levi was actually between the two mountains. They were not one of the 12 tribes. Now, there's a similar command given to Parsha Kitava, which is coming up fairly soon, where Yehoshua is to erect a monument of two stones, of which there are multiple interpretations as to the exact contents. But Masechet Sota explains there were actually three sets of two stones, but there's specifically one set that was on Har Ebal and Har Gerizim. And in this case, the one bringing them, or Yehoshua, would be the one in the middle, where you could say that Yehoshua represented the Shekhinah, which rested in the middle and could go kavyechol to either side, bad or good. So either way, we have a six of six and a one in the middle. So whether it's Levi in the middle, whether it's Yehoshua in the middle, or whether it's the Shekhinah or Hashem's presence in the middle. Now, the Maharal explains that in order for Bnei Israel to merit leaving Mitzrayim and become a nation, they had to unite as 12 tribes into one. Now, Rabbi Yosef Kolatsky explains that this unity turns the number 12 actually into Echad, which means one, but is actually numerically equal to 13. And there's so much more to this. I think I actually wrote something about this like a couple months ago, so maybe harken back and look and see what I did there. Anyway, the Maharal explains a similar notion by the 12 stones upon which Yaakov slept, that the 12 stones united into Echad, into one, which symbolized the future unity of Yaakov's children. Now, in that case, it is a straight 12. He also explains that prior to the Chet Ha'egel, the sin of the golden calf, the key number for Klal Yisrael was, in fact, 12, and that even though they were distinct 12 tribes, they were nevertheless Echad, they were one. But when the sin occurred, they lost its merit, and only the tribe of Levi fought for the sake of Hashem. Therefore, along with the portion of those who are Kohanim, they were tasked with representing the entire nation as being the unifiers of the 12. They represented the Aleph, therefore, so to speak, in the Echad. So you have an Aleph, a Chet, and a Dalet. With the Chet Dalet, which is 8 and 4, is 12, and you have the Aleph uniting the Chet and Dalet together to make 1. So therefore, you have a 1 that combines the two sets of 6. However, in nearly every case where Bnei Israel is counted, either Levi is omitted or Levi is included, but Menashe and Ephraim are counted as one. We never actually see a true scenario where we have 13, with the possible exception of when we have the staffs. There, I believe it's not clear. I believe we have the 12 surrounding the staff of Aaron. So I believe in that case, we actually do have 13, which is interesting, especially because the word for staff is Shevet. It's a whole nother discussion. Anyway, the final count we generally have is 12, and the goal is for the 12 itself to be one, not for the 12 to be with one. So therefore, there should theoretically not be a 13, because after 12, it automatically goes to Echad, which even though it has a numerical value of 13, becomes one. So it's like 10, 11, 12, 1, right? Not 13. So it's interesting that the number 12 itself can be represented by two sets of six, which can be represented by a Vav and a Vav. The letter Vav numerically is 6. The letter Vav itself is actually spelled itself with two Vavs. Sometimes it's spelled Vav Aleph Vav, which opens a whole other question. I'll get to that in a second. So either can be spelled Vav Vav, which literally is one Vav and another Vav, making 12 or 6 and 6. Because in this world, one cannot have blessings without curses. You can't have positive mitzvah without negative mitzvah. You can't have good without evil, right? You have, the way we see it is evolve and evolve. There's two sides, right? We see something, see things black and white. We see positive, negative, good, bad, etc. And they're always equal parallels. So every, you know, positive force is a negative force, etc. But Kabbalistically, the letter Vav is often spelled Vav Aleph Vav, with two Vavs and an Aleph in between. So that's distinctly different, right? When we look at it, not from the physical or earthly perspective, but when we look at it from a spiritual perspective, what does that mean? When Hashem becomes the focus of people's lives, and this Aleph in the middle, in the spelling of Vav Aleph Vav, represents a sense of oneness in the middle, and that's obviously the focus there is pretty much always Hashem. When Hashem becomes the focus of people's lives, and moreover, other people become just as important in people's lives, leading to unity with one another and also unity with Hashem, right? So, Bein Adam Lechavero and Bein Adam Lemako, then these two sets of six become complete, right? You have a Vav, an Aleph, and a Vav, and they unite through this one, and they become a true 13 or Echad. So it doesn't even become a 13, it becomes a true one. Now, interestingly enough, if each person's kibyachol set, which is Vav Aleph Vav, and another person's set, which is Vav Aleph Vav, and we have these two mirrored entities, whatever you want to call them, these two sets, parallels, whatever you want to call them, of Vav Aleph Vav and Vav Aleph Vav, and they come together and they match each other, whatever that means exactly, right? But they come together and you have an Echad and an Echad. You have two ones coming together to form an even greater unity. You have 13 plus 13, or 26, which Chazal teach is Echad and Echad makes Hashem. Hashem Echad or Shema Echad. It's one of the hidden meanings of the pasuk that we say every day, multiple times, Hashem Echad or Shema Echad. Hashem is one, Echad, and His name will be one, Echad. There's actually many other things like that, as well as when Mashiach comes, etc. Now, interestingly enough, the word Shemo, His name, referring to Hashem's name, is numerically equal to 346, which you could teach has a small gematria or a mispar katan of 3 plus 4 plus 6, which actually equals 13, interestingly enough. Now, unity is not always to see. It's not always easy to achieve, and you know, it may be very, very difficult to put together, and it may not be your fault. There's so many obstacles to unity, but there also can be amazing, amazing ways of unity. Like certain things that I've seen in Eretz Yisrael recently, that despite the protest, people have been able to, you know, come together in unity. There's been some amazing Kiddush Hashems in that regard. Even amongst difficulty, the potential for unity is always there. The potential for Echad, the potential for the Vav Aleph Vav, or the potential for the Vav and the Vav to become an Echad. Right? When one focuses outside of oneself and you're towards that Aleph in the middle or a center focal point, which ideally should be Hashem, now it could also be a person, right? You could both be focusing on a parent, you could be focusing on a community member, you could be focusing on a Talmid Chacham, you could be focusing on Refuah for an individual. When you're focused around one common goal, one common purpose, certainly if that one is Hashem, right? One is Hashem, yeah. One can achieve true unity, which is the Vav Aleph Vav, which is the true power that is contained within it of not just 12, but 13. And the 13 then becomes one, which is Echad. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.